Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in that.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
You can't say Randy without saying Andy. It's the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Monday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it. Hopefully everybody had a great weekend. Hopefully you got a lot done on Saturday because the weather wasn't any good yesterday. It was perfect for sitting in the house and maybe nursing a hangover. I don't know what you had going on, but some of us maybe had a little too much fun on Saturday night. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Andy. Saturday was one of them days, obviously. You know, it was a beautiful day. Got a chance to do some yard work. I hammered in two boards, Andy.
Wow, you're a regular Bob Vila.
You should have seen me too, dog. It was perfect form, everything like that. So she wanted me to fix some stuff on the fence. So, yeah.
Perfect form?
Yeah, dog.
Hammering form?
Perfect hammering form, dog. It was. You should have seen
that,
dog.
Elbow tucked.
Yeah, dog. You should have seen that.
90 degrees.
Yeah, but it was a great night. We hung out, obviously, getting to sit outside to damn near midnight, then going in the house, watching that raggedy-ass fight and everything like that, which Ryan Garcia rightfully won. But, it was good. Then, like you said, yesterday, getting to hang out and just, again, nurse a hangover.
Yeah, it was good. It was good hangover weather
then
yesterday morning.
Nice real late, like 3 o'clock, sun comes out, and then you get a chance to, you know, maybe throw something on the smoker for a little bit. But, yeah, overall, great weekend as we finally have got to draft week.
We are here.
Finally.
Now, still.
I know.
Still got four more shows.
Before
they make a selection.
Yes, I know. I know.
This is always the hard part because you spend so much time speculating and guessing and mock drafts and trades and this kind of stuff. And then they always do the thing that we didn't spend any time talking about. They'll probably do that again this year.
Right.
Trying to think of what would be the in terms of bang for your buck, as far as the conversations we've had, the worst thing that could happen, probably the double trade back and take an offensive lineman that we haven't heard of.
Right.
And then the Friday and Saturday would be really exciting because they'd have a billion draft picks. But they're not taking a quarterback. We pretty much know that. Yeah. All right.
Yes.
I guess the most exciting thing from from an involvement standpoint with the rest of the draft would be you're sitting there at 8, only 3 quarterbacks have been taken, and the teams behind you that are quarterback needy start blowing up the phones, and all that starts.
Right.
So then you have 10 minutes of, what are the Falcons going to do? The Broncos are calling them. The Vikings have 2 first-rounders. Maybe they'll do that, and that would be fun for 10 minutes. But then if they trade back, then they traded back.
Yeah.
You know? But at least then you'd get to enjoy it again because then, all right, they traded with the Vikings. So they don't actually pick for another half an hour.
Right.
So then you get to prolong that a little bit, and then maybe they take a defensive back or something like that, or maybe the edge rusher is still there that they wanted. But it's always very funny on Thursday night where it's like, man, I spent a lot of time talking about Kalavon Chaisson
all the way opposite
and then never talk about him again.
God, I just remember those
Taven Bryan.
That's the name right there. Taven Bryan, Andy. Taven Bryan. I'm like, dude, why?
Now, the best one was the year that Chase Young was coming out and everyone was convinced they should trade up to get him. And there was hours of that spent on this radio station. Mm-hmm. Do it, go all in. By the way, Chase hadn't been very good, so that would have been a huge disaster.
No, what about if they would have done that? What was the other one? The corner from Florida, CJ.
Henderson.
Yeah, we gotta go up and get him. Mm-hmm. We gotta go up and get him. Like for what?
Yep.
Go up and get him. Like okay.
It's a good thing we don't get graded on draft predicting.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
it's a good thing we don't.
I wouldn't take him, but all right, fine.
All that said, what are they gonna do? What are they gonna do on Thursday?
They are going to wait because I think J.J. McCarthy is going to drop, and I think somebody is going to give them that pick.
I do too.
I think somebody's going to want that pick.
It's a real likely trade back scenario.
Yes.
I really think it is. And, we've sort of last week agreed on what the best case scenario would be. First 3 quarterbacks go off the board, 1, 2, 3. Then the pass catchers go and maybe Joe Alt 2 or whatever. But, you're sitting there at 8 and – almost all of the top seven picks that have been forecasted are gone. And then the teams that are quarterback needy behind you, because there's three of them. Mm-hmm. It's not just Minnesota, who has two first-round draft picks. It's also Denver and Oakland as well. And if you look at Josh Kendall's most recent mock draft, which, why wouldn't you? It's still mock draft season until Thursday. He had a seven-round mock, and his prediction for the first round was they traded back with Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
You make that trade with Oakland. Now, unfortunately, as far as like immediate excitement, that means you trade back with Oakland, you get pick 13, mm-hmm. but then a first-round pick next year.
Mm-hmm.
The most exciting one would be if you did it with Minnesota, mm-hmm. and then you get 11 and 23 this year. Mm-hmm. Then you have two first-rounders this year, which would be great.
Right. And, I mean, that could be something that you could use to go back up if you got to do something like that. So, I mean, I just think that, you know, where they are right now, and, you know, I've come around, I'm all on this. I always say his damn name wrong. The UCLA dude?
Just say Latu.
Latu. I'm all on Latu because I thought about a little bit over this weekend, like, why should I care? I mean, I care about, you know, the neck thing and everything like that. But the teams are passing him medically and saying that he's going to be fine. Only reason I say that because of what just happened to the Wolf Hunter out there in Dallas, the linebacker, Van Der Esch.
Yeah, Van Der Esch, yeah.
Yeah, what happened with that. I had a teammate that had the same surgery that – because all it takes is one.
Yeah.
All right, that's football. Anytime any hit can do it. But when you have that whatever he's going on with his neck, it just takes that one, you know, collision. And all those different things. But, yeah, I'm all on him. I think he is the most polished pass rusher in this draft. I think he is the best pass rusher in this draft. But I think the upside for Dallas, like people look at more like that, because Dallas Turner is a good player, because I don't want people to think I don't think he's a good player, because I do.
Yeah.
But I think Latu is a better player at this point. I think he's an immediate impact, like can get damn near 10 sacks.
Yeah. Well, and he's one of those guys, too. And there's a couple guys in this draft, but there's guys like this in every draft where it's like, if he didn't have that neck issue, he probably already would be in the NFL.
Yes.
Because he medically retired when he was at Washington.
Yes.
And then got some good news and was able to figure it out and go to UCLA and have a nice year and all that kind of stuff. But, like, same thing with Penix. Like, if Penix doesn't get hurt at Indiana, he probably already is out of college, doesn't have those 2 years, and or at least maybe only has 1 year at Washington or something like that. But, like, you know, that's a part of why guys fall a little bit, though. And then that's the dice roll, right? It's all a dice roll.
Yeah.
Like, no matter who you draft, it's a dice roll. But, like, you really like how this guy's playing, but then there's that, you know, there's that thing in the back of your mind of he did get hurt really bad before, and, it's not all the same thing, but the Falcons do have a checkered past of drafting previously injured pass rushers from UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
Tack McKinley, and you know what I mean?
But he loved it because he was cursing and has a picture of his grandmama.
Okay, if Latu cusses and brings a picture of his grandma up on the stage, sign me up. Actually, don't, because then that would be history repeating itself.
Exactly.
And it didn't work out very good with the last guy. I know, that's not a reason to not do it.
Right.
But, yeah, no, I mean, that's why he's, you know, that's why he's not in the NFL already. He would be if it wasn't for the injuries.
But, I mean, I think that's when you look at it, and there's going to be so many moving parts. And we know this, that quarterbacks are always overdrafted, and it's just not the case. This will be the case this year. I do think so. But, you know, the biggest thing is when you have the run on a position, when does that happen? Like, you kind of already know the three receivers are probably going to go to the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
But more likely, one of them might slip out. And then you look at it from a standpoint, does somebody want to get in front of Chicago to get Rome?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many different scenarios that you could look at if you're the Falcons. And there's no wrong – I mean, I want to say there's no wrong pick. They're like the quarterback right there at 8.
There's no wrong pick, you know, Thursday.
Because I always look at it like this.
There's a wrong pick in hindsight, obviously.
Yeah.
But there's no wrong pick Thursday. Work.
But I look at it always from, you know, when people say, well, that's too rich. Why? Because who said it was too rich? Because an analyst on TV or somebody said that? Well, what about the teams? How do they rank them? Because right now the teams are setting up their boards right now. They're finalizing everything. And you hear the stories about the board. It gets changed on Wednesday night. Thursday morning, Jimmy GM wakes up, calls the coach. You know what? Damn it, I don't want him. You know, let me watch a little bit more tape on. You know what? We taped the interview. Let's talk. Let me hear him talk a couple more times.
Yeah, I didn't like how his hands were fidgety when we asked him about this question.
Yeah, it's so many daggone things when you get this close to the draft. And obviously the biggest thing that you're going to hear now is just misinformation and trying to find a reason not to draft a prospect. We already know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's going to be – who is this year CJ Stroud?
Yeah, and I would say this, just for all of us that are – draft content consumers, and I guess some of us are draft content creators as well, but a lot of us are content consumers. You don't have to buy into all the BS this week. If somebody decides to go on a smear campaign of, I don't know who it would be, Jaden Daniels or something like that on Tuesday, just know that's what it is.
Because
that's what it was last year with CJ Stroud was, he didn't do good on this test and he bailed on the Manning Passing Academy or something.
Remember
like
they
that.
Said
like,
he bailed on the Manning Passing Academy.
Like, stop. Can he play? Yes.
Yeah,
he play? Oh, he was Rookie of the Year? Okay. So that It's always important. We do such a bad job of only looking forward sometimes in media, but then also in content consuming. Like, you got to sometimes check back in with some of the stuff these guys say. Like, this guy spent a lot of time trashing this dude 2 days before the draft, so you'd click on his articles and up his numbers and all that kind of stuff. But he was wrong. Yeah. So cross him off the list.
Exactly.
Don't pay attention to that guy anymore. It's a great opportunity to decide who you do and don't want to pay attention to when it comes to coverage. Because most people are full of it.
Yep.
They just want you to click on their stuff. That's it. That's all it is. Yep. So just be on the lookout.
Just be on the lookout.
Be on the lookout for a little clickbait.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, they did. But the thing about it is, an exciting time, you know. And when you look at these young men getting opportunity, we always talk about it every year to get to realize a lifelong childhood dream and all those different things. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I just still don't know, because it's hard to predict right now outside of the top three as far as moves until draft day. You know, it's always, you know what I mean. It's always hard to sort of say, well, if you're the eighth right now, why would I trade up right now, not knowing if the guy that I want is going to be there, if you're a team behind Atlanta, you know? And so that's always the thing, unless you're trying to go up to New England, you have this inkling that New England is not going to take a quarterback, which I still am not 100% sure that they are because of so many problems that they have. I mean, whatever you're going to do, you're going to look at it from the standpoint of what are you getting next year also? Because if you're talking about those teams, Vegas, Denver, Minnesota, like, they're going to have to give up a one next year.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Or if you're Minnesota, both of them this year.
You got to give up both. No, if you're Minnesota, you're going to have to give up both of those.
To get to three.
And a one next year.
Yeah, yeah. To get to three.
Yeah.
I'm thinking from the Falcons' perspective. If you get to eight, then that's the two this year. Yeah. But if you're Oakland, that's this year and next year.
Yeah, man. And I mean, I know that there's You know,
for J.J. McCarthy,
that's just my only thing. I'm not saying J.J. can't play. Quarterbacks, he ain't no different than most overdrafted quarterbacks. My thing is like this. And that's why I said, how do teams have them ranked? Because you know they'll say that he was ranked top of our board, even though he's probably fourth. And you're sitting there like, we got to go get a quarterback so bad that we got to – for this guy that I just don't see. I'm sorry. I know he made some plays, and I know he wasn't relied on it and everything like that. That's the biggest thing, Michigan, all that thing. But
I don't see it. We'll come back, tell you what's trending. One thing I feel pretty confident in saying, the Falcons won't do it eight is draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
They got their quarterback. Now, he was making the rounds this weekend.
0-2, huh?
Yeah. Might have to have a new nickname. Yeah. Might be Curse. Curse Cousins.
Yeah. Curse Cousins.
Not because he cusses.
Yeah.
0-2.
Yeah, man.
Welcome to Atlanta Sports, Kirk. Buckle up. All right, we'll come back and tell you what's trending. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This one is hit well. Deep left center field. It is a grand slam for Travis d'Arnaud. His third homer of the night. And the Braves lead 7-3.
It's good. It's just like, you know, really last night and anytime Travis is involved. And because they trust him. And know he does the work. And he's caught Charlie a lot. And so, you know, they've now been together a while, so I think they pretty much know what each other's thinking. Really good. No, it's been really, really good. And, you know, I think when he had a normal off season, could do all his training, and he wasn't limited in spring training, and he could do it there, and he was on, you know, like the normal program, and I think that's always good for these guys. Anytime they rehab and even get to spring training, you're always careful with them and aware of what they're going through. But when they after that and they get normal, I think you know they get their stuff back quicker, you know. And again, it's just, you know, really nice swings too. That's just not over swinging. And you know, Chipper always talked about, you know, guys kind of playing at 85%, not 100 in the batter's box.
Yeah, so that's
a snit
on Saturday night talking about Travis d'Arnaud just going off, man. Three home runs on Friday night, including a grand slam. Two more on Saturday. This is completely outrageous. He hits five home runs in two games. That's as many home runs in two nights' work as Juan Soto has all season, who's off to a great start,
yes,
as Shohei Ohtani has all season, and he makes $1 billion a year.
Uh-huh.
Like, he had in two games what a lot of these guys have done so far this season.
Yeah, man.
And then got the day off on Sunday, which I thought was a little weird, but all right.
I, w-
I would have probably played him.
I'd have played him. But I think I was like, is it one of the things where you want two on, one off? Two on in a series?
It probably is. And it's probably the right thing to do. Yeah. And it's like, okay, don't get over your skis. You got to still keep him on this schedule. And
right.
Sean Murphy's not available. And so, you know, I get it. But, right. like, I don't know. I probably would have had him in the lineup yesterday.
Yeah.
And I then mean, they lose. They lose the game.
They lost the game.
Thing.
You know, they lost because they left men stranded. You know, when they had opportunities to win the game
and everything
like that.
I thought they were going to come back and get it in the eighth inning.
Who didn't?
Yeah, and then the Rangers bullpen just locked down.
Yeah,
so.
I think that, you know, when you look at his performance, it was, like you said, outstanding. One for the ages. You know, it was only like three catchers in all time. He's one of three catchers all time. Yeah,
and the other ones are Johnny Bench and Gary Carter. Like, come on.
Yeah, exactly. But, no, it was overall it was a good weekend, winning the series against the Rangers. Now, Darius Vaughn.
Bryce Harper, four home runs on the year. Cody Bellinger, four home runs on the year.
Did he hit one? He hit one yesterday, right?
Bellinger did?
Yeah, I think he did.
I guess, but I think he did. To bring his number up to four.
Yeah, I think he hit one yesterday.
Max Muncy, four home runs on the year. Manny Machado, four home runs on the year. Starling Marte. Darno's had a better year than these guys had in a weekend.
Who you take?
To do what?
All those people just hollered out, who you take?
To do what?
Well, yo, great weekend. Obviously, you know, we talked about this Wangsterwagon thing. It's going to be a revolving. Yeah, keep that thing gassed up.
Yeah, man.
But obviously, Darius, he's gone back up to Gwinnett.
He wasn't horrible. He wasn't horrible.
No, he was not horrible. He just wasn't good.
Yeah, he wasn't good. But, yeah. I mean, five innings, four earned runs. He had one really bad inning.
Yeah,
but
he just wasn't good. And now I think this was the whole thing. They're bringing Bryce Elder, who's going to go today.
Yep.
And obviously, we'd seen what he's done. We'll just see. I mean, I think let me ask you this. Do you think he has more leeway than Darius Vines? And what was the other
dork? He should.
And then, what was the other dork?
Alan Wynans.
Yeah, him.
Yeah,
okay.
He should.
Okay, I was just asking. I mean, because I think this is pretty much the guy they want in this spot because you've seen him throughout a season, what he's been able to do. So
he was an all-star last year.
You want to try and see if you can keep this guy up here and try to solidify in everything you can with this rotation because it's going to change. These guys are coming back or something like that. We all know this. This is a marathon, not a sprint. You're going to use more starting pitchers.
Sure.
We know this. But, yeah, I'm anxious to see what Bryce Elder has. And, obviously, you know, they got the Marlins, and we know they stink until they play the Braves for some damn reason.
I understand that they want Darno to catch Elder also. I understand all of it.
Yes.
Get all of it.
Yeah.
Just saying the guy hit five home runs in 2 days. But the problem is you can't put him at DH because then you can take Ozuna out of the lineup, and you can't do that.
Who hit another home run?
Because Ozuna, by the way, we're talking about guys hitting home runs this year and all that. He's hit the most of anyone.
Yes.
He's got nine.
And most RBIs.
And the most RBIs.
Yes.
He's on pace to have like 240 RBIs this year.
Hey, let's go. Let's go. It's Ozuna
what a contrast.
Ozuna from the Braves.
This time last year.
Are we sure?
I was trying to send this guy to Taiwan.
All
this
I wanted
time
to
last
do
year.
Was get 15 home runs.
Yeah, that was the base.
That was the base.
He's going to have 15 home runs by the end of April.
Is this the last year's contract?
I believe so.
Okay, are we sure?
Well, not be. I got to re-sign him.
He has a team option for next year?
Oh, he's got a team option.
Okay.
Well, that's going to be exercised.
Damn, I thought it was a four-year deal when he signed.
With a fifth-year option?
Yeah, I didn't realize all that. Damn. Ah, well.
I'm happy for that.
This man's got 27 RBIs.
Yes.
This is outrageous.
Yes, he has been outstanding.
57 total bases. Oh, my God.
We're hitting everything.
You know what's crazy, though? As good as he's been, Mookie Betts Marcelo Ozuna's got 1.1 wins above the replacement right now. Mookie Betts has 2.2.
He's sick.
It's twice as good.
He's sick with it,
Mookie
man.
Mookie Betts been so good, man.
Yeah, man.
He's like, all right. Acuña gets the MVP last year for 40-70. We're not letting that happen again.
Oh, no, he's putting.
We're starting this from day one this year.
He's such a special player.
He's very good.
Damn.
Shortstop this year.
Yeah, dog. I mean, he's played everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they can get other guys on the field.
Yeah, put me where you need me.
Shortstop? Oh, I got this. Yeah. You made a pitch?
I'm just going to bat 469 and slug 634.
You made a catch? I think Mookie can do it all.
Yeah. He could probably catch. Be a little catcher,
yeah,
but he could probably catch.
He'd be – Small.
Little fella. But that's all right.
But that's okay because
Luke gets it done. He probably blocked the ball in the dirt really good. Agile. Like a cat.
Agile.
So that was the Braves weekend. They won the series. That's the most important thing. Lanny United, again, takes a lead and then fails to retain it. Hell of a goal by Almada. Oh, just an absolute strike from Almada. And then they gave the thing back in about 5 seconds. And then I gave Cincinnati another one about 5 seconds after that. Yeah, and they lose the game 2-1.
That's the biggest thing is, like, when they get up and the emotions are high, they just let down their damn guard.
Yeah.
Second week in a row.
I think that's part of it for sure.
It's the second week in a row.
Cincinnati was just way better than them on Saturday. Cincinnati should have scored 7
goals on Saturday.
We definitely understand
that. We're definitely on the same page with that one. But still, you still have the lead, no matter if because a couple of them went off the post and all those different things. But yet, you still had these opportunities. Just like you had the previous week, and you let it down. You let your guard down.
You let them off the
position. You're not crisp with your crossers. I mean, it's always a little thing, but the little thing, for some reason, always seems to kind of get this team. You know, they do little things against other teams for Atlanta United, those things don't always go in their favor. But for some reason, the little things, the lack of focus on this 1 second play or something like that, another team take advantage of it.
Yep, no doubt. You saw the effects of not having Yorgos Yakimakis too.
Gotta get him back in.
There was a lot of opportunities.
Gotta get back in there.
That a better striker probably finishes. He's getting healthier. Hopefully, we'll see him start next time out. Hey, this happened on Friday. And I don't know how big of a deal it is, but it's not nothing. The Hawks hired an assistant general manager.
Okay, I thought Kyle Korver was assistant general manager.
Yeah, can never have too many.
I mean, just think like this.
Why not have a bunch of them?
This has been the track record with these people. Right? Who is this guy?
Anse Sala.
Hey, where he
Anse
from?
Sala.
Where he from?
Golden State.
So he's gonna be the new GM.
A voice in the room. I don't know.
Of everything that has happened these last 3 years, going back to Travis Schlenk, bringing in another guy.
Every time they bring in the next guy,
that takes over.
Nate McMillan took over for Lloyd Pierce. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, every time they bring this over to me, it seems like this dude is going to be the guy with him and Coach Quinn with help.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I never heard of the guy. Never hired him. But here's what I know.
But
he's got experience at least. Like, that's more than you could say about any of the rest of those
guys.
That's what
I'm saying. You don't give somebody the title assistant GM and they're just here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I thought Kyle was the assistant GM. And then
maybe he focuses on other stuff.
Like what?
Maybe there's like, you got one GM for like – active NBA scouting, and then one GM for like college stuff, or maybe he's like an international guru.
Could be
something like that.
He could be.
I don't know.
He could be. All I know is say assistant GM on there.
All I know is he's actually been in a front office before.
Yeah.
Before he got here, which I like. Like, he's actually got experience.
I'm going by the track record of what goes on when that organization hires somebody in some kind of.
It's Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Like it's Game of Thrones. As soon as someone gets in that room, they're finding a way to. Get above the other person that's in that room.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Just get it right, I guess.
Yeah. You know what always works, though? It's just a bunch of cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's
really what you want.
That's what this team
needs. It's a lot of different people pulling in different directions with different, like, objectives and all that kind of
stuff.
That's
what this team needs. This team needs more and more people.
You just need more cooks
to assist.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Bigger government. That's what you need.
That's what they got.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're
part of. That's what they're doing.
Well, welcome
aboard.
Welcome to this mess. All right. I mean, you're
good pretty, luck.
Like, that's my thing about it. It's like, he didn't take this. He took this job for knowing that.
He's familiar with the Hawks, I would assume.
What made you say that?
Well, I mean, before he took this job, I think he's familiar with the situation.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why did he come?
I don't think he's going to be surprised
by
the
disaster
that
is. He came from that to this.
Yeah.
Okay.
The last time they got a guy from Golden State,
he's pretty good.
They went to the Eastern Conference Finals.
He's pretty good, actually. So maybe lightning in a bottle.
And then they Game of Thrones his ass out of there.
Yeah, because he didn't want to do something.
Because he didn't want to take orders from somebody who has no business giving orders.
Exactly.
Is what he didn't want. Here's Kirk Cousins. He was in the booth at the Braves game yesterday, courtesy of ESPN.
Well, I think the key is, you know, you look around an organization when you're a quarterback and you say, hey, are we on the same page from ownership to general manager to head coach and to quarterback? And if you feel like you're all on the same page, that gives you the best chance to win. And I do think we have that here. I think Mr. Blank is going to do whatever it takes to win. I think Raheem Morris is our head coach. He's a great leader. What we need in this city. I think Terry Fontenot knows how to build a talented roster, and he's already done that. And I look around at the guys I'm throwing to, and I feel great about the group we have, the offensive line we have.
Right.
So there's a lot of pieces in place. And I've also learned in this league the margin for error is very small. And
this
so we've got to find those inches, and we've got to build continuity. And that's what our spring football program going on right now is all about.
How did the first pitch go?
Good.
It was good.
Threw a strike. Didn't stand on the mound.
Perfect.
But, good form. clearly has played baseball.
Okay.
Yeah, right, it looked good.
All right, that's good.
Everything
man.
About it looked good.
Because he was, he was at the United game on Saturday.
Hammered the hell out of the spike.
Yeah. And then he got a chance to obviously do the ceremonial first pitch and everything. And he's right. I mean, it's so important that you have those things. In that order and everything like that. And the Falcons, for the most part, do have that.
It is, but it's also, haven't they?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
he's better than the other two guys that we just saw. That's the most important thing
right there. I know there's this new stuff coming. I know Shefty was talking about as far as this tampering thing where, you know, I didn't think it was going to be that. I still don't think it's a big deal, but to me it seemed like the NFL might treat it as one.
Yeah, that's the thing that surprises me.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And a lot of teams do what the Falcons
did. That's what I'm saying.
The NFL is acting like it's a big deal, and I don't understand that.
I don't understand it either. I think it might have been easier if you just heard rumors of it, but to actually hear the guy who is supposed to be getting in trouble with for tampering for kind of like
talking about it into a microphone.
Yeah, it said something he wasn't supposed to say.
Right.
And so I think maybe the NFL looked at it like that. I don't know. I don't think one, two, or three, or four are going to be taken. I'm talking about the round draft picks.
Draft picks. Yeah. I would hope
they got two fours, right?
Yeah.
They got two fours?
I would hope not.
If they got two fours, they might take the late four.
Usually they don't even do it this
exactly.
quick.
Exactly.
Like usually this is next year, the year after, or something like that. Yeah. And it's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, the NFL wants to be
They want to be quick for once?
They want to be proactive.
Proactive.
Yeah.
For once.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Just to screw the Falcons over out of the draft pick. Thanks a lot,
Baptist.
Thanks a lot, Goodell.
I don't think that's that serious.
It's no, it isn't. But all they want you to do is lie back.
Falcons were
too brazen.
They weren't brazen. He was just mud.
Yeah, it's brazen. Like he was just like yeah, and then we did this.
That's when you need one word answers. Yes.
Yep.
Fine. Happy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Everyone does what they do.
Yeah, well, they reached out to me on Sunday and wanted to talk to my doctors, and I was like, shut up.
Somebody kick him. Cut his mic off. Come on, man. Hush. All right. NBA playoffs got underway this weekend as well. Some really fun stuff. The one thing I need people to stop saying about Anthony Edwards, and I'll tell you what that is coming up next, because we're there, okay? We're not getting there. We're not almost there. We're there, and you saw it over the weekend. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah. Is there a different name for it?
I don't know.
Yeah, because different. Sometimes haircuts have names and I never heard of them.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, oh, all right. Everybody knew that.
Yeah, but I mean, certain, like, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, usually, like, if you go to a new barber, you tell them, try to explain it to them.
You ever bring a picture?
No.
You ever done that?
No, but most brothers' barbershop, they got the picture up there.
Oh, there's our picture of somebody else.
Yeah.
But the problem is you probably don't have as good a hair as that person.
Yeah, but I mean, I get the basic hair.
You know
hair.
The barber? Yeah, you have good hair. But like a barber's like, you're pointing at it's like, well,
yeah,
I'll do my best, man.
I'll do my best right there. But
I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it look just like that.
But it's my hair. Because I've been getting my hair cut the same way since I was able to start affording haircuts and not bowl cuts for my mother.
I've been getting the same haircut since I was in seventh grade I stopped having a bowl cut.
Yeah, exactly. I had the same thing, you know, temp fade, you know, everything like that, edge it up and everything. Ever since the day I started getting a haircut from a real barber. No offense, mama.
No offense.
No offense, mama. But when you saw that damn box with them clippers, you knew it was down here like, damn. Should I start cutting my damn hair?
Yeah, no, those were dark days.
Yeah,
man.
No, we know. Look,
and the problem is like my mom has all the old pictures,
uh-huh.
like, and there's pictures of me in fourth grade with a homemade bowl cut.
Oh, I got
that is very
mama
uneven.
No, mama has those pictures. No doubt about it. Like, I went to her house and she has a picture frame of all like from kindergarten all the way up to fifth grade. And what she would do is like she would always put them on top of each other. So there is a picture. Kindergarten, Randy, all the way to fifth grade.
Yeah.
And fifth grade when she got a hold of my ass. And so, and still the same pose on that wicker chair.
Yep.
Turning sideways. Same picture all the time.
Yeah. No, I have the picture that I can look at and say, well, I know why I'm funny because I didn't have any other choice.
Right.
I didn't know how to fight, so I had to be funny. Sixth grade, bowl cut,
yeah.
Purple. Now, it was a Washington polo.
Oh, that's when you had that rayon on, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But it was Washington, but you couldn't see the W, so I was just wearing a purple polo shirt. Bowl cut, braces, cooked. I mean, there was nothing I could do. Better get some jokes. You better, or learn how to run fast.
I know how to run fast and zone on people, man, because that was my thing. I'll tell you what I was zoning on. This was the thing I was zoning on this weekend. Because I got teenage, this is my third one I sent to a prom. My little cousins, they went to the prom this weekend. They look so good.
So it was prom this weekend.
Yeah, they went to prom.
Okay, because we saw some kids at a park on Saturday taking pictures. Like, is it early for prom?
Yeah, they had their prom this weekend, so they look good. But some of them damn pictures of some of these damn dresses and some of these damn tuxedos, why the hell? What is wrong with y'all?
But that's not new, right?
No.
Went to high school with some kids that wore some crazy
Really? Okay. Not like this. Not with your ass and hips all out. No.
Fair enough.
No. Stop. Like, I saw some jokes like, y'all thought that looked good, huh? And y'all just out there prancing. Woo, look at her looking a damn ass. Like, no, boy. Some of them damn tucks and I was like, whoo, boy. Because you know me. It ain't about being traditional. It's about, like, I'm about to cuss. That look ragged as hell. Mm. All right, it does. Okay, and that egging on, like, you don't have to match the whole damn suit to the whole dress. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to wear a pink and purple suit because she has a pink and purple dress.
You don't have to. You could, like, just get, like, a little accent on the tie or something like that and go traditional black.
Saw too much of that.
There's a lot of matching.
Yeah, saw too much damn matching.
My thing, too, is, like...
Yeah, saw too much matching at prom.
Like, you're going to wear it probably once.
That's it.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, just rent it, man. Like, if you bought... And I had some friends that did this in high school, and then they realized this, like, the next week, that they spent all that money buying a gold tuxedo to wear to prom.
In a souped up gym.
But then, we're just going to the gym.
Yeah, in a souped up damn gym.
Where we had all the assemblies, and you just got a $300 gold tuxedo from Leroy's Menswear, which was, no one in the world knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I wish you did. Maybe we can find a commercial on YouTube, because there was a place in Seattle called Leroy's Menswear that basically sold pimp suits, and like...
But that's what I'm
half
saying.
My buddies in high school were like, we're going to Leroy's. And I was like, why? You guys are idiots.
You got a damn Journeys tux on.
But then my buddy Matt was like, he spent so much money on his gold tux. He was like, you know what? I'm wearing it to graduation.
I'm wearing it to grad night. I ain't even mad at him.
I thought maybe because he was the one that got married in Miami last year.
Right.
I was like, who knows? Matt might break the gold tux and get married in the gold tux because he probably still has it.
Dude, I was like, damn. Y'all really? This what we're doing, huh?
Yep.
What are we doing?
All right. Gotta go all out.
Okay, because I know my mama asked me to think about my cousin. Like, Randy, he wants a tuxedo and everything. I'm like, okay. And I looked at some stuff. I was like, well, call Isaiah, because Isaiah is more into the fashion of the day and everything.
Yeah, and he just went to prom like 2 years ago.
A year ago. Yeah. So I'm like, just call your grandson. I'm sure he got some ideas. Isaiah, man, he looked really nice. Classic black tux, red bow tie, red vest. Just classic.
Yep. You'll never regret it.
Just classic.
You'll never regret the classic look.
Yeah, just look real classic. Look like a gentleman had the beard trimmed up. He was looking sharp.
Beard.
Man. Oh, yeah, my cousin got a damn beard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man. Yeah, dog. Yeah, it was good. But, yeah, some of them, I was just like, wow. Like, y'all, really? All right.
There was some at my prom, they must have had to lie to their parents because it was like when they got there was detachable parts of the dress.
Yeah.
And it went from classic to all of a sudden was like, this person's almost naked.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. I was like, wow, that was a sneaky move.
I wish mine would.
It was like a Transformer dress.
I wish mine would come out and you see some.
Went from just real, oh, wow, that's nice. Yeah. Tasteful.
Mesh don't go with everything.
Tasteful. And then, there's fishnet everywhere. Yeah, it's like, all right.
Mesh don't go with
everything. You know what? When I was 18, though, I like that.
Yeah, mesh.
You know what I mean? When you're 18, you could pull it off back then, too. That's probably the best you're ever going to look is the hard part for some people. Like, that's peak.
Right.
Now, some of us keep getting older and better and aging like fine wines.
Right.
Some people, prom's the best. Like, that's it. That's the top of the mountain.
I was ready
downhill from there.
I love prom. I was ready to go. I was like, all right, dude. This is it.
All right. When talking about Anthony Edwards, I need people to talk about things in the present tense and not the future tense. He is not a future superstar. Anthony Edwards is a superstar, okay? Yeah. And I don't know. I know he plays in Minnesota, and the NBA only markets LeBron and Curry and, like, four guys at once. That guy right there is one of the 10 best players in the NBA, and he has been for about 18 months now. And he showed up on Saturday with a message to deliver, and he was telling Kevin Durant all about it. He was telling Bradley Beal all about it. Like, he's a bad man, and I think that'll be a better series. I think the Suns will probably come up with a few answers, but they blew the absolute doors off the Suns on Saturday by 25 points, and Anthony Edwards was the best guy in the building.
He went bonkers in the third quarter. Like, and then we all know the story. Kevin Durant was his favorite player and everything
like
that.
You could tell it meant a lot to him.
You could tell it meant a whole lot to him and everything. I think the biggest – thing with them is Karl-Anthony Towns being healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about Karl-Anthony Towns, franchise player, draft number one overall, franchise player, gets the max and everything, and this dude comes in, and Karl-Anthony Towns like, you got it, bro.
Yeah, he's better.
Yeah. You, well, I mean, you did that because you had no choice, first of all.
Right, they didn't give but him a choice. They like, also matched him with three or four other, like, quote, yes, stars throughout the years.
And it didn't work.
To mixed results. And I'll be honest, like, when they went out and got Rudy Gobert,
I didn't
think it was a good idea. Yes. I thought it was a bad move. I don't know how those guys – it's worked.
Like, I know, and you know,
it really was a savvy move, and they made it work.
I saw this – they had a list, and they – NBA players rated him as the most overrated player. I'm like – overrated as far as what? He does what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to get rebounds and defend.
Yeah.
He ain't no scorer.
Yeah. One of the three best defenders in the league every single year, yeah, and I don't think he's ever missed the playoffs.
Yeah, so like, I'm just like,
Rudy Gobert teams, I mean, they haven't won a championship for sure.
Right.
And they didn't, you know, they won some games in Utah and all that, but they're good, and they tend to be good most years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was crazy. All the teams that didn't have their guys played incredible. Dame goes out there and scores 35 in the first half.
I was like, "What the hell?" And then didn't score no more points.
And then he was, "We're good.
We're good.
We're up 100.
I'm good.
I'm
man.
Not going to score in the second half. We're still going to win by 15."
That's all you need.
Kawhi didn't play for the Clippers. They were up 30
yes.
in the third quarter yes. against the Mavs. The Mavs kind of tried to chip away at it, but they played awesome. Harden was good. Paul George.
I think
was
that's
good.
That's the biggest thing when we talk about the Clippers game and the Bucks game. Chris Middleton was really good too.
Mm-hmm.
He was really good.
He was.
All right. Do you need that to happen? James Harden, Kawhi's out. James Harden, we need you to be good.
Yep.
He was good. Russell Westbrook gave him that energy off the bench. I mean, that was the biggest thing for them was they didn't rely just on – Paul George just didn't have to carry the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, James helped out a little bit. And, I mean, I think that's when you look at it from that standpoint of going through the playoffs. Like, the Lakers are in a position where they got to get something from D'Angelo Russell.
It's not going to happen.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They can't win if they don't.
And they won't.
Yeah,
and they won't.
Yeah, they can't win if they don't get something.
D'Angelo Russell, I think, like Dame's the opposite.
Yes.
Like Dame spent all 82 games like partially hurt, partially unhappy that he was in Milwaukee, partially like biding his time for the playoffs. Playoffs get here, he's engaged. He goes off for 35 in the first half. It's like the opposite of turning into a pumpkin.
Right.
I don't know what that is, but D'Angelo Russell turns into a pumpkin when the playoffs come around. He doesn't have any interest in it. The last five games, I know they've all been against the Nuggets. I know they've played the Nuggets the last couple of years in the playoffs, but that doesn't mean he can't play. He's three of his last 25 on threes in series against those guys. And LeBron and AD both played good.
Yep.
Like, if AD's giving you that performance and you still lose by double digits, you don't have a chance in hell. And Jamal Murray didn't play great, and Michael Porter Jr. was missing open shots. Like, no, the Nuggets are a machine and came out in the second half and didn't turn the ball over. Their starting five had zero turnovers. LeBron had seven by himself. You're not going to win a lot of games like that. But if you like, and you said this last week, and it's true, like people know this that have watched them play, they need a third guy to come along. Problem is that third guy, if it's D'Angelo Russell,
it's not going
to
happen.
It can't happen. He's not tough. He's not a playoff performer.
And there goes the rub, whatever. When you talk about this offseason, them trying to go get another player that will give you those points, and you can't sag off of them because you don't have that because you do have a reputation of being able to play big in big moments. And so they're all right there. I mean, other ones, you got the Knicks. I mean, I ain't no New York fan. I just don't understand why they feel like they just won a championship by winning one game. Like last year, remember 2 years ago when they beat the damn Hawks? You're just like,
yeah, once.
What the hell is wrong with y'all? What is wrong? I know it's been a long time.
I think that's what it is. I think it's pent up.
It's crazy.
It's frustration.
It's crazy how they beat a Philadelphia team who, if he was right, they would have beat them.
Yes.
If Joel Embiid was, that's why I asked you this out there. I mean, you were talking. I was like, because he's like, that knee ain't going to get no better, I don't think. Would you sit him out today to give him tonight off 2 days before they go back to Philly and play?
It's not a bad strategy. I don't know how much it makes a difference.
Right.
Because what he needs, along with not hurting his knee, is to play. Like, he needs game reps. Like, he's so gassed, man. Like, to try to lean on this guy to beat a good team like the Knicks, and if they do, to go further in the playoffs, like, the best thing that can happen to him is playing minutes and getting some of his game legs back underneath him. Problem is, every time he plays, he gets hurt.
Yeah, that's the thing about
it. I would say this.
You threw the ball off the glass and dunked it and he got hurt.
No more off-the-glass lobs.
Yes.
To yourself.
He threw the lob off with a bad leg. Got it.
Just don't. Because Drummond damn near killed himself trying to do that a couple weeks ago. Like, back to the Ant-Man stuff. Not everybody's Ant-Man.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? No more off the backboard to yourself, Joel. Just hang out by the three-point line, facilitate, hit some threes.
Come on, dog.
They're in trouble. they're in trouble. And as Tyrese Maxey seems like he's got the flu. So, yeah, man, I don't know. Maybe they're done. Josh Hart, just leaving him open. We dare you to shoot, and he's cashing threes. Yeah, bad strategy from – well, I guess it was a good strategy. It just didn't work. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.